Well, the National Security Agency's collection of internet data now, audio and video chats, emails, documents, pictures, and more, has many internet activists up in arms. Our next guest says he isn't surprised, and he even sees a silver lining in this surveillance story. Joining us, Douglas Rushkoff, author of Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. Hi, Douglas.
Hey, good to be with you.
We shouldn't be surprised by this, you say. Our data is out there. We live in public, and we have to get used to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we have to get used to it, but you know, we have to accept, as people like me have been arguing since, you know, the internet began, that everything you type onto a machine and distribute through a global network, I mean, you have to assume there's some traction out there. In other words, we've been typing messages into databases for a long time. We've been clicking on Facebook and saying what we like and what we don't. We've been putting, you know, global positioning devices in our pockets and walking around with these things on. I mean, did people actually expect that none of this stuff was being recorded?
Now, what about content versus aggregate data? We just heard John Cutter saying they're not listening per se. They're not reading your IMs. They're looking for aggregate data about connections to bad guys. Don't worry, they're not listening. You buy that?
Yes and no. I mean, for the most part, yes, we are not the people they're after. We're the control group. You know, so that by looking at all of the accumulated data about us and then as much data as they can about people who've done nasty things, it provides an easier way for them to pinpoint, you know, people who might be more likely to do some bad thing than people who aren't. But once you get in the habit of having everybody's data about everything, you know, it's real tempting to use it in a whole bunch of ways that aren't particularly aren't ethical. You know, as long as they're not worried about, their findings standing up in a court of law later, they can still look and find out different things. And, you know, I don't particularly trust government or corporations with this sort of data, with this kind of information.
Are you one of the people who was more troubled by the fact that Google and Apple and Facebook and Verizon have all of this information to begin with? And then the NSA getting access to it is just sort of ho-hum?
Well, we know that they've had. I mean, the thing I've been stomping, that's why I write all these books. I've been trying to explain to people for years that these companies have the data. I mean, that's Gmail is free, right? What do we think we're paying with? We're paying with our data.
Well,
Facebook is free.
It's their business model. I mean, our data and our behavior is what Google sells to advertisers.
Right. It's already there. I mean, and I guess what we liked to think is that, oh, well, somehow corporations in some way are more trustworthy, or they don't really care. They don't really care if I smoke pot or not, so they're not going to come after me. And we have this notion that the only way the data is used is sort of in that, you know, in that CSI or Law and Order way, where after some murder's been committed, they'll go and then they'll check your, you know, check the phone records of the person who was killed to see who called them. But you have to remember, if that data's been there all along, then it's been useful all along. You know, and in some ways, the way it's being used now, we don't really object to, because, you know, they're not after us for anything in particular. But when a government can get into sort of nasty territory of selective enforcement, when you look at a guy like, you know, Eliot Spitzer, say, who he's doing something that I'm sure a lot of politicians do, you know, when they're going off to prostitutes. But when someone's after him, we've got the data to go prosecute him. And I think that's sort of where it gets troubling.
You mentioned, Douglas Rushkoff, author of Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now, that the public is now the control group. Can you talk a little bit more briefly about what you mean by that, that we're the control group? We just talked a minute ago about 6 degrees of separation, sort of everyone's connected. What does it mean that we're the control group?
Well, I mean, in a sense, you know, I write a lot about the always-on universe. And, you know, we're very familiar with the ways in which being always-on kind of impacts our neurology. It makes us nervous and people are clicking in and, you know, this sense of having to be always on. And usually we think of it as this idea of, you know, our boss or our friends always being able to tweet us and ping us and put us in this state of kind of constant emergency interruption. But the other side of that coin is that when you're always on, it means you're always observable. It means you're always recorded. So there's this huge data footprint that each of us leave, you know, whether it's, you know, we have a driver's license or not, or two doors on our car, or we have a dog or don't have a dog, or this is the way we moved around with our in our car today, or this is how many emails we sent. All of these data points, which may or may not have any logic to them, they're just data points. But all of these data points, when they're combined together, they provide a profile of a sort. So they can figure out using computers that, well, you know, people who've driven this much in the morning and that much in the afternoon and sent this many emails and that many of this are likely to be getting the flu or are likely to be, you know, changing their sexual orientation next week or are likely to buy a new television or are maybe more likely to be involved in some kind of a terrorist terrorist action in the future. You know, so it's really the vast majority of us are the control group for each one of those hypotheses.
Douglas Rushkoff says we're all just bits of aggregate data in this surveillance matrix. Douglas Rushkoff is author of Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. Thank you, Douglas.
Thanks for having me.
What do you think about the NSA using you at least as a bit of aggregate data? Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can always reach us at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.